Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
There's a new NBA champion. We the North are now we the champions. The Raptors, the 2019 NBA champs.
So, yeah, there's where we left off at the end of the season. But between then and now, there's been a few things. Here's everything that went down this offseason in 3.5 minutes or less. The Raptors won it all. And Plant Guy had a gift for Fungi.
It's a plant for Kawhi. It's the Kawhi plant.
Then Kawhi asked a very important question.
What it do, baby?
Then the Lakers stole the headlines and landed AD. Draft night, Zion was the number one pick. And everyone cried.
Wow, bro.
Giannis won the MVP. Marcus Smart picked on a camper. Then the free agency fireworks started. KD and Kyrie to New York, but not the Knicks. Instead, they left Stephen A. Smith really upset.
How stupid can you be?
And people are doubting this guy's team this season.
We believe.
Jimmy Buckets to Miami. D'Lo to the Warriors. Iggy to the Grizz. Hassan Whiteside to Portland. The Sixers stole Al Horford from rival Boston. But the Celtics got cardiac Kemba. Kawhi Watch officially began and took over the internet. Zion played 9 minutes in Summer League, but did this. And Mother Nature approved.
Folks, we're experiencing an earthquake right now.
Whoa, yes we are.
But that just turned out to be a tremor for the biggest news of the summer. Kawhi and PG to the Clippers. How cool is that?
Pretty cool! Pretty damn cool!
On 7-7, KD went from 35 to 7.
And this guy lost 20 pounds this offseason.
Yes, I did.
Team USA's FIBA chances took a blow when Anthony Davis and James Harden bowed out of the tourney. We saw the best summer league dunk ever.
Boston Celtics had Carol Lawson.
Whoa. Oh, my goodness.
That was a showstopper.
Westbrook and CP3 traded places, and Russ was reunited with Harden. The MVP learned some Millie Rock. Everyone wanted to mosh with Shaq, and nobody wanted to dance with Jokic. The Spurs brought back the big fundamental. Can't wait to see his sideline drip. Zion takes flight with the Jumpman. But then he, Dame Lillard, and Bradley Beal withdrew from Team USA. LeBron joined Bronny's layup lines, and somehow it was controversial. Portland broke out the bag for its backcourt, a $300 million bag.
That's a big dollar bag.
And as the Menace won a WWE belt, Kevin Love traveled the world. The NBA experience opened its doors in Orlando, feared, teased, and delivered on a new move. Jason Tatum was scared of lobster. For good reason. Kuz rocked this outfit, and people roasted him for it. And then he dropped out from Team USA, along with Kevin Love. Devin Booker let us know he hates double teams.
Hey, bro, we're not doubling an open gym, bro.
Yeah, we are.
I think that's all season, bro.
Kristaps Porzingis transformed into Ivan Drago. Pat Bev rocked Tim's at the beach. Pat Riley and D. Wade boogied on a boat while they were dressed like Aladdin. Because, of course, they were. Hell did not freeze over, but Dwight Howard did go back to Los Angeles.
Laker fans, I'm excited to be back on the team.
Alex Caruso enlisted in the Swole Patrol and got drug tested. No more Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle headbands. And more guys withdrew from Team USA. Once the World Cup started, Team USA lost twice.
Pop, how frustrating was it?
Very.
I know, I'm sorry.
No one had a better summer than Taco Fall, except maybe Marcus All, if he remembers it. The Lakers won a preseason game and then warned the NBA. Daryl Morey's tweet had a bit of an impact in China. Shaq and Dame had a rap battle. Ben Simmons said he fell in love with basketball again, and then switched to three.
They wanted to shoot it.
Let's go home! Let's go home, ladies and gentlemen! Let's go home! Let's go home!
By the time it was all over, a record-breaking number of players changed teams. And now, a whole bunch of teams have a chance to hold Larry in June. So buckle up, because the season tips tonight, and you're going to need a lot more than 3 minutes for everything that's about to happen.
Woo! Welcome to the jump! Look at those shiny new graphics. I hope you're all caught up now. Shout out to our producer, Michael Bodmer, for putting all that together. I'm Rachel Nichols, alongside our senior writer, host of the Low Post podcast, Zach Lowe. We're not allowed to fist bump. I've explained this to you already. We're too white. Can't happen. This is the Hall of Famer, Mr. Tracy McGrady, and this is how we know it's time for real basketball, because he is back. I am so
super
thrilled.
Excited.
Woo! It's going to count. It's actually going to count tonight. I cannot wait. Coming up, we found out yesterday that Zion Williamson out for 6 to 8 weeks with a torn meniscus in his right knee. Stick around to find out how Zion's injury will impact NBA fans outside of New Orleans. First, though, it's opening day. The 2019-20 NBA season tips off in less than 5 hours when the defending champion Raptors host the, well, yeah, no Zion, Pelicans. But the biggest game of the night, sorry, World Series, is the nightcap between the Lakers and Clippers. Both LA teams went all in for Kawhi Leonard this summer. And earlier today, LeBron said he thought Kawhi was coming to the Lakers at one point and then was asked this follow-up question.
Who do you think
think swayed the decision for him?
Man, how the hell can I answer that? I don't know. Ask Kawhi. Thank you.
Thanks,
everyone. I'm happy, though. Ask Kawhi. I have no idea what weighed the decision.
LeBron James, also in regular season form. So, Mac, Kawhi's decision to join the Clippers made a lot of fans outside of Los Angeles also happy, just general NBA fans. Like, if you join the Lakers, Kawhi, LeBron, AD, like, why play the regular season? But also, look, there's a question of the expectations now for both teams. Mm-hmm. So who is going to be more disappointed at the end of the season? Which fan base?
The Lakers fan base. And I say that because I look at AD, I look at LeBron. LeBron is going to be 35 years old this year, right? I look at AD and his past years with the Pelicans. He's kind of been injury prone a little bit, right? So now playing with LeBron, expectations is extremely high. He has to deliver, being in a Laker uniform, being LeBron James's teammate. I just don't know how that's going to fare out when you got Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, great defensive team in the Clippers next door, and LeBron James, being that he's 35, who is their closer? Going to have to be the closer. Is he capable of doing that at 35 years old? That's a tough burden. So I like what I see on paper with the Clippers than I do with the Lakers.
You said 35 a lot of times. It's a concern about LeBron.
17 years in the league. He will be 35 in December. Brian, I know.
So the question is, who's more likely to disappoint?
Yes.
I think neither, to be clear, is going to disappoint. But if I had to pick who's more likely to disappoint, I would actually go with the Clippers because I think the expectations are higher. I think they're considered the championship favorite in the league.
No.
Paul George is going to be. Yeah, the odds on Vegas has them as the championship favorite.
Vegas has both of these teams, but I always wonder, is that just about where the money is coming in?
And our experts pick, I think, is more Clippers than anyone else. And Paul George is going to miss the first 10 games. Like, there's a chance if they load manage Kawhi at all and Paul George misses more time, they could be the fourth seed, the fifth seed. And from there, just getting out of the West is really, really hard. So I think both teams are going to be great and fine. But if I had to pick who's more likely, I'll go Clippers.
I think it's adorable that you don't think Lakers fans think the Lakers are winning the title this year. Those expectations are just as high for those fans.
Absolutely.
They should just be happy they're in the playoffs and relevant. This is six straight years in the lottery. They've been an embarrassment. This is a good time for them.
Lakers fans are not just happy to make the playoffs ever. I will say, in AD's defense, he hasn't been injury prone the last few seasons. Last season, he missed some games because there was a little issue with the trade thing and they held him down.
Through his career, he's been
all of
dealing
that.
With
he
some
did
injuries.
Early on certainly yeah. have serious injury issues. You've got a fair question about LeBron with his age, which I think is what, turning 35 in December, I believe Tracy said. And the injury, most serious injury of his career was last season. It's the flip side of having these teams everyone is so excited about, is they now are going to have to spend this season paying that off. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to see if that happens. I want to get to the Pelicans, though, because, man, that's a team that had excitement and had a lot of disappointed fans yesterday when they announced that Zion will miss 6 to 8 weeks after getting surgery to address a meniscus tear in his right knee. Just to do the math for you, if he took the full 2 months, he wouldn't be making his NBA debut until the week before Christmas. So that's a while. There's still some uncertainty as to how and when Zion injured his knee. Earlier today, though, Pelicans GM David Griffin spoke about the injury to reporters. Take a listen.
You know, I've seen a lot of the narrative out there about him that this happened because he's not in shape and he's too big. That kid's a freak of nature. He's in elite condition, and he stays in elite condition. He also has a body type that we're learning how to deal with as a 19-year-old kid. As we've gone through this process for our medical team, learning how they're going to keep him lean and giving him the core strength and stability and control he needs, typically that means that you're going to do things to strengthen those areas. In this case, he gains muscle mass so fast and gains weight so fast, no one's ever dealt with anybody like him before. So he's 19. It's going to be a learning experience for all of us. But the notion that this happened somehow because Zion's in poor condition is just asinine.
Griff, not holding back there at all. Do you agree with him that his weight isn't a problem?
Well, I don't think he was injured because he's out of shape. I think he's in great shape, but I think he's too big. I think 280, playing at 280, the style of play that he plays is entirely too big to sustain that for 82 games. This is what can happen to him. Mm-hmm. And this is what I suspected that would happen to him. If he was to have a longevity career, he's going to have to drop down to 260, maybe even get into 250s. 280 is just too much.
That's substantial. You want him to drop 30 pounds?
I mean, 280? Playing at 280 at his size, the way he plays the game, he has to get to 260.
Yeah, Griff is talking about a narrative, and he's right that part of the narrative is poor conditioning, but I think a lot of the people that he's addressing are just saying he's big. He's a big dude who jumps really high and dunks a lot and comes down hard a lot. Mm-hmm. And Griff himself said, you know, we're learning his body type. We're learning what it means to be that age, that vertical and that heavy, and we don't know.
So now he's out for, what, 6 to 8 weeks? He's really going to have to watch. He's going to have to be on a strict diet, you mm-hmm. know, because he can't run.
Can't run around.
He can't do anything. So it's very pivotal for them to find out what it is they have to do to keep him underweight.
Tracy, you obviously had knee problems and different. Every knee problem is different. But when you see a guy with knee problems like this now, do you feel like the Pelicans are smart to pull him back right away? They gave him an MRI without even really there being a problem. He just said he had knee soreness. And they're like, oh, my God, put him in an MRI machine and take care of it. And they're keeping him out now for 6 to 8 weeks. They are being super careful.
They should. I mean, this kid is the future for this franchise.
Yeah. There's no, you don't rush him back to get the eighth seed this year. You play the long game for sure.
Well, there's a couple other people watching, though, for Zion Williamson. The Pelicans are scheduled to be on ESPN and TNT a combined nine times between now and Christmas Day. So just for all NBA
Switch.
Fans, Zach, I don't think that some games are switchable toward the end of the season. I don't. I could be wrong. The NBA TV people will call me, but I don't think these are. I think you're going to see a lot of the Pelicans.
It stinks.
We still got Lonzo.
I was going to say, I think they're still going to be fun to watch. They're going to play fast.
They're going to run
up and down. Mm-hmm. And let's hope they can just hang around. Because if they get to March and April and they're 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, they're in it. I hope that they're a fun team to watch. The crowd, I hope, embraces their style of play, embraces their youth, and they have a crazy home court advantage. We want to make the playoffs in year one without Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome if every Pelicans home game down the stretch was just must-watch, loud college atmosphere. That's what I want.
Here's what I know. These guys are going to be well-coached. They're going to get up and down and play, and they're young. So if they come in and play every night, every team in the NBA doesn't compete hard at a high level every night. Now, if Alvin Gentry could get these boys to compete at a high level every night, they'll give them themselves a chance.
And they're deep. And if you want to run, you got to be deep. If you really want to run, you got to be deep.
They will be on television.
A lot.
So get behind Jrue Holiday, people. He is really fun to watch. Coming up, one of these $100 million plus contracts will end up being the best investment from the 2016 draft class. Which one, though? Stick around to find out. First, though, it's time for our distant replay. This date, 1997. Hey, T-Mac, have you ever heard of someone called Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, man. I did. Oh, don't do this to Penn Wallace.
Uh-oh.
This was preseason back then. We're talking about preseason.
He got the whole bench up going crazy.
Right on the dotted line.
Goodness.
Those old Wizards uniforms deserve it. They deserve it.
What it do, baby?
Make, miss. It's a make or miss league, baby. That's it.
Thank you, Kawhi. Make excitement. New Balance held a pop-up event to promote Kawhi's new shoes. Check out Kawhi taking them out of the box. Now, T-Mac, I know you're all about that three-stripe life, but are you feeling these?
You just said it. I'm all about the three-stripe. those are straight.
Right?
I like those.
You like those?
Yeah.
For
New Balance, cool. I mean, hey, come on, they're New Balances, so.
Okay. They put fun guy right on the shoes.
I mean, there you go. He's a fun guy.
He's leaning right into the fun guy thing.
There you go.
Stand out on the court.
Or a bank gets paid. Miss Appetite. Serge Ibaka may have one of my favorite shows ever. He hosted Kevin Durant. This is an exotic talk show from the Bleacher Reports. It's called How Hungry Are You? Serge made KD eat a snake.
Oh, heck no.
Yeah, last season.
Why not?
Serge made Kawhi eat penis pizza.
What?
Mm-hmm. What is the most exotic food you've ever tried, friends? I'm not going to say it a second time. I said it last year when he did it.
I eat almost anything. I mean, seriously, anything that comes out of the
snake.
Yeah, I would eat a snake, absolutely.
You
it's food.
Almost anything.
How about Serge's troll game, though?
I'm not feeling no snake. Or
I'll go on Serge's show.
Bowl penis.
I ain't with that.
Make boss life. Michael Jordan sat down with the Today Show and said he doesn't play pickup anymore. T-Mac, are you surprised?
Yeah, I am. I mean, the man has so much love for the game of basketball. I thought he'd be in the wheelchair trying to play damn basketball. So I am surprised.
I mean, he has his own team. Yeah. You kind of think he'd want to go down and play every once in a while. We see Tim Duncan going out. He's
just too competitive. I don't know if I believe Mike on that, because I know some of those guys in his organization on his team is talking smack like they still can score on Mike or beat Mike in a game of one-on-one.
We will
or something like that.
Get back to MJ a little later in the show. Miss downtime. That was Nikola Jokic. We got a little soundbite for you. Take a listen.
Did you do anything fun over the last 2 days with no practice?
No.
What'd you do?
Other than being in my home, I was watching Pokemon for 5 hours.
Pokemon?
Yeah.
Okay. He watched Pokemon over the weekend for 5 hours straight. Zach, if Jokic was a Pokemon, what would his powers be?
I don't really, I'm not sure what kind of powers the Pokemon things have. I just think what's important to me is that Nikola Jokic never changes. I never want him to change. He's perfect the way he is. Do not change him.
I don't know. We also had, Giannis says that he watches a lot of reality TV show. He likes the Kardashians.
Ooh.
So this is a new wave of NBA players.
He need to change his thinking. I remember last year when one of his teammates got hit in the man area, and he was the Serbia way of, trying to.
Oh, right, yes.
Pain. No, you got to change
jump up
that.
And down.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You're aggravating it.
I want to turn our attention to the rookie scale contract extensions that were agreed to prior to yesterday's deadline. Pascal Siakam agreed to a 4-year, $130 million extension with Toronto. And Woj broke the Jaylen Brown news. 4 years, $115 million. That
good
extension with the Celtics
fella
broke that news during yesterday's show. Our friends who run the NBA on ESPN social media department posed a very interesting question on IG yesterday. Which $100 million plus extension given to a member of the 2016 draft class will ultimately be the best investment? Mm. So, Tracy, we have Siakam, Brown, Ben Simmons, and Jamal Murray. Who do you think is worth it for the money they're getting paid?
Listen, all of these guys are going to be future all-star. Ben Simmons, I have to go with because he is an all-star already.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'10 point guard. He could do a lot of things on the basketball court without even scoring. He affects the game in so many ways. And I'm not even going to say if. When he starts shooting the ball, he will be, to me, the best player in the game.
We're showing that May 3.
Yep, we're going to be showing that one a lot, I think, for a while, that one. The answer is still
I think
Ben.
He's shooting more.
We'll see when the games, the real games start tomorrow for them. The answer is still Ben Simmons. For all the flack, for all the criticism about his jump shot, he has the potential right now to impact the game on an all-around basis more than those guys. He is a Hall of Fame level passer already. He's one of the best passers that the league has ever seen already. That said, if the playoffs come around again and in round two, he's just chilling in the dunker spot under the rim, getting in the way and not doing anything, this discussion opens back up because Siakam has another level to hit. Jamal Murray, if he starts chucking more off the dribble threes, could be really special. And Jaylen Brown's really good. But right now, it's still Ben.
You love Siakam.
I love all of those guys that are up there. And Siakam, I kind of underrated him last year, but he's going to be special. All these guys have the potential to be perennial all-stars. I mean, that's just what it is. But Ben Simmons right now is 6'10", point guard, can pass with the best of them. He's just a jump shot away.
I didn't mention Buddy Hield because he and the Kings agreed to an extension worth $94 million plus another $12 million in bonuses. He was headed to restricted free agency if they couldn't reach a deal. Remember, very dramatic on Friday talking about maybe they didn't want him. But he has been moved over into the other column. So this is who we got as the 2020 free agency market on the right, both restricted and unrestricted. I'm going to call your attention to the column on the left because this past summer, it was a good class.
Great class.
Best ever, maybe, for moving around in free agency. Just in total, 40% of the league signed new contracts this past summer. And this is who we got on the right this coming summer. And let's be honest, Anthony Davis might not really be on the table. Zach, how do the league's GMs feel about this?
Well, I think that the teams with cap space are looking around today saying, What happened? Who are we going to sign? Who's still available? And there's some big winners on that list, like Brandon Ingram, Bogdan Bogdanovic. Those guys are going to get paid. But you look at Andre Drummond or DeMar DeRozan if he doesn't extend in San Antonio, which, by the way, I think is still a possibility. Like, is a rebuilding team really signing those guys? Like, what's the market for them going to be? What is the point for a rebuilding team to sign DeMar DeRozan or Andre Drummond? It's going to be very interesting. But yeah, those teams are holding a lot of money and don't got a lot of players to spend it on.
I'll just say this. Free agency in 2020 is not going to save any franchises.
Right.
It's just that simple.
It's just a very different story than it was this past summer. Mm-hmm. I think the rush of extensions we saw over this last 24 hours, if there were a couple teams that were on the fence, should we extend this guy or not? As soon as the dominoes started going.
I think the Buddy deal was a cascading effect after that.
You don't want to be the team that didn't extend your guy, pushes him into restricted free agency, and then he's kind of the only shark chum out there, right, for other teams to look at, because that list is getting smaller and smaller. Coming up, I promised you more Michael Jordan. We're going to have more Michael Jordan. He appeared on the Today Show to talk about opening two health clinics and his new tequila company, but it was his comment on Steph Curry that set NBA Twitter on fire. We will discuss that next on The Jump. We have our first NBA regular season doubleheader on ESPN and the ESPN app tomorrow. I'm very excited. It's the Al Horford Bowl. Embiid and the Sixers hosting Kemba and the Celtics at 7:30 Eastern. Then we go to the Rose City for Jokic and the Nuggets taking on Dame and the Blazers. Stephen A. is going to get it all started on SportsCenter, 7 p.m. Eastern. Catch it then. And welcome back to The Jump. We are honored to be joined by the TV GOAT.
Oh, goodness, that's way too much praise.
My big brother.
Well, thank you, Ray.
Mr. Michael Wilbon from PTI.
Glad
I'm always so thrilled when you come by and we begin talking to you about the basketball GOAT. Uh-oh. Michael Jordan granted a rare interview to our friend Craig Melvin from the Today Show just after opening two medical clinics he's funding in Charlotte, which, by the way, good job by him. During the interview, MJ and Melvin shared some of his new tequila, and then this happened. Take a look.
Someone asked you if you could pick four guys for your pickup team, four guys that you play anybody else with. Hakeem Olajuwon, Magic Johnson, Scottie Pippen, and James Worthy. That was 6 years ago. Lots happened in the league in 6 years. Would you keep the same four?
In a heartbeat. When I'm going in the trenches, I played against and with all these guys. I'm going with who I know. Every single night, that responsibility to go out there and represent greatness every single night.
So Steph Curry shouldn't be offended when he watches.
I hope not. He's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though. He's not.
Cheers.
Cheers, my friend.
So first of all, shout out to MJ for being loyal to our guy, Scotty. Love that. But Wilbon, you know Michael better than almost anyone. He didn't have to throw the Hall of Famer thing in there. He wasn't asked about it.
You saw the twinkle in his eye. This is Michael. You've known him forever.
I have known him for a long time.
You know him. This is what he does. He likes to tweak, and he did this. It came off to me in a lighthearted way. Like the first thing when I heard people going crazy about this, Michael said Steph's not a Hall of Famer. Stop. He loves Steph Curry. Loves him. Loves him. I know this. I can say that without anybody calling him now to say it was tampering years ago when I was told that. But he loves Steph Curry as a player. Michael's consistent, and he's not going to be given into the hype. Those Hall of Famers, that generation of Hall of Famers, what do they always say? You got to go through the process. When the time comes, you'll be there. Michael's not saying Steph Curry's not a Hall of Famer. If he was sitting here, he might tweak him some more, but he will be a Hall of Famer. But no, you have to go through the steps that when the time comes and you retire and you've gone through your entire career, then you can be a Hall of Famer. He's consistently like that. He's tough on people. Michael's not grading on the curve now. Come on. I know him that well. I know you guys do too. He's not grading on the curve, but I also know from many conversations over the years, he loves Steph Curry.
Hall of Famer? What do you think?
This is how I took it.
Hall of Famer.
This is how I took it, right? I mean, I look at it as Jordan is old school, and he's right. He doesn't waver for anything, for anybody. He stick to who he is. And because Steph is still playing, he's still writing his script, his story, he's not going to put Steph in the Hall of Fame right now. He's still writing it. Well, so I didn't take
it
as...
You can put him in the Hall of Fame right now.
He is a Hall of Famer. I'm saying that.
Yeah.
But I know how MJ is. We know how Michael is. He's not giving him that.
And by the way, if he did something else, he wouldn't be Michael Jordan. It's like going back to the Hall of Fame speech.
Yes.
Right? People were so offended. I'm like, shut up. if Michael didn't do that, he wouldn't be Michael Jordan. He'd be Clyde Drexler. I'm saying the personalities, we know the difference between Michael and everybody else. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't we? And this has been his personality. You look at we celebrated all these things, the trash talk, the toughness. I mean, being able to come right at people no matter what. That is what characterized him as much as the tongue wag and switching hands, all of that. So now when he sticks to that, when he's consistent, then people want to say, oh my God, he's insulting Steph Curry. I'm glad, Tracy, that you didn't take it that way.
When I see the video, he just looks like a guy having a little fun.
That's right.
He just looks like a guy having a little fun. I will say, though, there is sort of an undercurrent among the older generation of ex-players who just don't seem ready to accept Curry as their historic equal, which is a little bit, there's just a little undercurrent of that. So we'll see. But, you know, obviously Tracy's right. He's a three-time MVP, two-time champion. Right. He's in. Right now, he could retire and go play golf.
That's what I mean. I mean, you can say, I get it, what you guys mean about, hey, the process, and he's not officially retired. He's not officially gone through the waiting period and all of that. But he is a Hall of Famer right now. With his credentials right now, if he never dribbled another basketball.
If we voted and he gets the number one vote, he's not. Let me ask you something. If Michael all of a sudden started being Mr. Softy,
I know I would,
and just sort of passing everybody through the gates. I mean, what would we say
it's
then?
Not everyone.
I think he should go the other. I think he should go the other way.
That's what we'll say.
Go the other way. Be like Steph Curry. He's like a sixth man. I think you should go all the way the other way.
I do know, though, I've talked to him about Steph also. He loves Steph.
He loves him.
Dell calls games for the Hornets, but right? Grew up there. They're North
that.
Carolina
Another thing
guys.
About this. If Mike was to say he was a Hall of Famer, you know how much hate he'll get, Steph will get, that he
why?
Already has on him from the players
point.
That are playing right now?
Why? Why?
That's a great point, Tracy.
That's a lot of players in this league that don't like everything that Steph is getting, right? From the fans, the media, they don't like that. If Michael Jordan validates him as a Hall of Famer, come on.
But isn't that what he said weird? A lot of players in the league don't like what Steph is getting. Why?
They're coming at him this year. It's one thing that's clear from just listening to people around the league.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming at Steph like he's done something to them. I agree with you with that.
It's
very
strange.
But the fact is, they believe, okay, he's going to have to take this matchup. He's going to take this 35 this particular night because Klay Thompson isn't there to switch off in that backcourt, and Klay's the great defender. That's out there. Am I right?
Yes.
That is. It's all over. That conversation is out there. Do I think Steph can knock a lot of this down? Absolutely. Because
yes.
He's that great.
He will.
He's that great. But the point is, these people are coming after the – you know how this league is. I mean, people, it's personal. You can't do this in football. Mm-hmm. You can't do this in some other sports.
You can go at someone.
But you can do it in basketball. And this is something, I think, a theme we're going to be aware of early in this season.
Mm-hmm. It's super interesting. And you're right. MJ is MJ. But he didn't have to say it. I don't know. It just counts. It counts as the
MJ. Did you
like
the Hall of Fame speech? Did you like his Hall of Fame speech?
I would have maybe taken a half a step back in his Hall of Fame speech.
I would have taken a full step back.
I've been Mike.
It would have been Michael.
Yeah. You know, some of the first NBA games I ever covered were the Bulls in Chicago.
I know.
Right?
I was
you
with you.
Raised me there, right? So I have seen this act for a long time.
You remember who else got in the Hall of Fame that night? It was David Robinson, John Stockton. Who am I missing? Somebody else. Jerry Sloan.
Right.
And speaking of idols.
Yes.
They all gave the speech. They were all gracious. Just so. That's what they did. When Michael Jordan got up there, and I was sitting there. Stuart Scott and I believe, and John Barry were sitting on a stage on our own set. And when Michael started doing that, I look at Scotty. You know Scotty loved it because he knew what was coming. I mean,
his poor high school coach.
If you're gonna bring to the Hall of Fame ceremony the guy who was named to the team instead of you, the guy who beat you out, what does that tell you is coming?
It's pretty good.
There's no way I would have showed up.
Oh my God, I loved
thank
it.
You.
No way.
Thank
Tracy
you.
Would have just said no.
No.
Thank
no.
you. I do like look. I do think Michael Jordan believes Steph Curry belongs in the Hall of Fame. I also believe that he purposely. It wasn't an accident.
Tweaking.
It wasn't like an offhanded comment.
Tweaking it was good.
He did it on purpose. And you mentioned Steph without Klay. It might be for longer than we thought. Steve Kerr spoke to Logan Murdoch from NBA Sports Bay Area about Klay Thompson's timetable for recovery after tearing his ACL in Game 6 of this past NBA Finals. Warriors fans are hoping Klay can return before the playoffs, but Kerr not as optimistic, guys. He said, quote, "It's unlikely he's going to play this year." So we have to understand that. That was NBC Sports Bay Area. Look, Tracy, there were people who thought Clay's a quick healer. He could come back after the All-Star break. If you were Clay, would you just approach this as a lost season and wait till next year?
No, not at all. I mean, the goal is to come back and play and be with my team. I think if he can get back right off the All-Star break and he's feeling 100%, his body is responding from the workouts and practices, yeah, he should come back. If his team is in a running of making the playoffs. If not, no, just go ahead and, you know, sit out the whole season because it's a wash.
I picked the Warriors to miss the playoffs in part because I had a little inkling that Klay's season was going to be closer to zero games than it was to coming back after the All-Star break. That said, I think the Warriors are very smartly playing down lowering expectations, mm-hmm, both for their team and for Klay. They're knocking down the questions before anybody can ask. And if they're in the playoff hunt and he's feeling good in April, maybe who knows? I don't know that has been definitively decided he wouldn't play.
Here's the one thing that is going right for Klay that I think coming off of this surgery is that he's not extremely athletic, right? Mm-hmm. He's a jump shooter. So with that being said, he's not a guy that is coming through the lane, dunking and doing all that craziness. He's a jump shooter, so he could come back if they are in the playoff hunt. He could come back, and I think he'll be fine.
We all saw him walk back to the tunnel to take a free throw because after tearing the ACL, he wanted to make sure he was legally still allowed to come back into the game.
Well, we saw Kobe Bryant walk off the court. Mm-hmm.
We did. We see him walk up. Look, that's toughness.
Yes.
And people don't want to ascribe toughness to Klay and or Steph, since we were talking about earlier, but they are tough. Look at the injuries they've come back and played
mentally
with in the postseason alone. Both of these guys are tough as hell. So that's that. But the point I immediately thought of is you tamp it down. Tamp the expectations down. Don't go the other way. So now you get to the point where maybe Steve and Bob have to answer this question every few days. Not every day. Right? Not every
single
round. How's his progress? Is he coming back?
Right.
Well, we said he's not coming back.
Right.
So I think that's part of it. But I think also you're gonna wait and see. He's going to wait and see how he is, right? Isn't that what players do?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to wait and see what the Warriors season is, right? If the wing defense is bad, if things are as bad, they did not look great in the preseason. If things don't go well, maybe they'll say, hey, it's not worth it. If they're not even close to a playoff berth, that kind of thing. But I want to see the person that tells Klay Thompson he can't play when he thinks he can play, because that conversation usually doesn't go that well. Let's get to what the Jump recommends for today. You can head over to the ESPN app for our expert picks to win the West, the East, and the title. After the break, our Jump experts will give their picks. So stick around. You're going to want to have to hear what these guys say. Welcome back to The Jump. It's NBA opening night. Indeed, we've got Michael Wilbon, Tracy McGrady, Hall of Famer, Zach Lowe, NBA senior insider extraordinaire. And I want to take this chance to get your predictions for the upcoming season. So let's start with the MVP. Caesars has Giannis as the favorite to repeat this season, followed by LeBron, Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard. So, Tracy, who is your pick to win MVP?
I am so disappointed in Caesars.
Wow.
I like this.
Wow. Oh, that's Caesars.
Yes.
And they have my guy last on the list. This is my dark horse. I'm going with Jokic.
He finished
fourth last year.
Yep.
And I think his team will finish top three this year because I look at some of the teams that, you know, are better than them, but look at load management, resting their players. These guys are young. I think he has a great chance of winning MVP this year. That's
first day back, and he's got the takes already.
I'm going with Giannis to repeat. I'm going with Giannis for MVP. Look, he has to come back. We need to see one thing out of him, about a 14-foot jump shot. It doesn't need to be more threes, but when they wall you off like Toronto did him last year, mm-hmm, he's going to be able to take that mid-range shot, which will open up everything, and he will truly be unstoppable. I love the Jokic pick. I think the big man's coming back in the NBA this year in a not an old-fashioned way, with a new twist. Those guys can do lots of things, but I like Jokic. He'd be my third guy after LeBron, but Giannis at the top.
Giannis, to repeat, I see no reason to pick against him. But I will say this, Caesars, Anthony Davis plus 700. I like that bet. To me, he is the biggest threat to a Giannis repeat. I think he has a chance to put up like a 30-12-5 kind of line this year. And if he does that with defensive player of the year level, he's averaged 28 before, twice. If you nudge all that, they averaged 4 assists last year. I think he's the number one threat to Giannis for load management and the big twos kind of cannibalizing each other. I'll go Giannis.
I will say this. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
Cut me off.
This is crazy that I'm thinking this way. I actually think James Harden might average 40 points this year.
Not with Russ, sir.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you.
So, Tracy, you think this can work?
I didn't say that.
Different point, okay.
All right, let's move along.
Talk about rookie of the year. Supposed to be a lock this season with the news that Zion will miss 6 to 8 weeks, though. Caesars took this category off the board, guys.
Caesars.
Temporarily, I guess, exactly. Zion returns in early December. He would miss around 20 games if that happens, and that would definitely leave the door at least open for the rest of the rookie class. Now, we've seen rookie of the year winners before who have missed that many games, right? So Patrick Ewing played just 50. He still won. There's not like that MVP level sort of bar that people set. But who's your pick, Zach, for rookie of the year, given now that we know Zion's out 6 to 8 weeks?
So 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, actually, 23 people, including someone sitting at this table, voted for someone who played 31 NBA games. So
was
the answer.
The best rookie, Joel Embiid. Was he the best one having his rookie season? Yes, he was. Therefore, he should have been rookie
of the
year.
Can I finish? So I think it's Zion yesterday, Zion today, Zion tomorrow. Wow.
I want to go find the me and you of 3 years ago,
if Zion is still on pace to play like 55, 60 games, that's enough. He's going to be that
Embiid
good.
Joel Embiid was the best rookie that year in the 31 games he played.
I'm going to say the guy, I'm going to pick somebody who has the ball in his hand, Ja Morant.
It's good.
And I know nobody's looking at Memphis for anything, for any reason, but he's got some young running mates, including Jaren Jackson with him. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go with Ja Morant.
It's a good pick.
I'm surprised y'all on this one.
Ooh.
I like what I've seen from this kid in summer league and preseason. I am going with Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero, yeah. I knew it.
I'm going with Tyler Hero. I love what I've seen from this kid. He is a bona fide shooter. He could shoot off the dribble. He's not afraid. I'm going with him.
Wow.
I like that pick, too.
You love, Waiters Island.
I was going to say, Dion Waiters is going to be offended. You might hear from Dion Waiters.
Tyler Hero needs, his own chain of
islands.
That's
why he's
suspended
right now, right?
Right?
Yeah.
He looks good. There's no question.
Issues there. The most important prediction is who's going to win the NBA title this year. Caesars, who is a great partner to us at ESPN, by the way, I'm just saying, has the favorites to win it all. ESPN's BPI also likes the Bucks coming out of the East to win the championship. So, looking at this list, right, they've got Lakers, then Clippers, then Bucks, Rockets, Warriors, Sixers. Again, I do want to say I think some of these odds are based on where the money is coming in, right?
They're all based on
the money. Who are you taking, Michael?
It's hard to pick somebody from the field. What's fun about this season is having eight teams you could
having
put in this
field.
Discussion. Having a field.
Yes.
I'm worried about the Clippers one thing. I'm worried about, do they have somebody to organize that team offensively on the road, late in games? Do they have that guy? That's not what Kawhi does. It's not what Paul George does, who plays so great off the ball. But I believe in my friend Doc Rivers. I believe he will figure out who that person is, even if they have to make a move. And so I'm gonna say the Clippers. That team defensively is going to be great.
Great. I mean.
Very great.
All time.
Historic.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm going with the Clippers. And what you said about the Clippers, who's going to organize them on the road, I have reservations about LeBron being a closer in his 17th year at 35. That's why I can't go with the Lakers. I am going with the Clippers. I think they're going to be an all-time defensive team. And you add two guys that can put up 25, 30 points a night. Kawhi's offense is catching up with his defense. I mean, they're going to be phenomenal.
Clippers over the Sixers in the finals. That's my pick.
That's my final two.
I like Sixers. That pick. Michael, thank you so much for
thank
joining
you,
us. You have to go get ready for your own show. Your producer's already calling.
Uh-oh.
We stole him for a little bit. Sorry, Matthew Kelleher. Coming up, Lakers-Clippers tonight. Who you got winning the season opener? Keep it locked on the Jump. We got more. It's not too late to sign up for ESPN Fantasy Basketball. You can start your league right now. Do it before the season tips. It's ESPN.com/fantasybasketball. Now, when the Lakers and Clippers square off tonight, it will be the first time Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green play against each other after spending 8 seasons together winning championships in San Antonio and Toronto. It's Raptors ring night tonight, too. And they'll both be in L.A. I caught up with Danny to talk about that and his new Lakers teammates. Take a look. Danny, tonight, opening night in the NBA. Huge night on both sides of the country. The Toronto Raptors are going to be getting their rings, big ceremonies as the defending champions. You were a big part of that team winning a title, and yet here you're going to be at Lakers Clippers playing your own game, and probably the most sort of talked about team in this city in 10 years. What does it feel like to have all that happening at once?
You're kind of like a rookie all over again. You know, just every opening night, you know, guys get the jitters, the butterflies, the anxiety, just, you know, excitement of starting a new season. And, you know, everybody has a positive attitude right now. Everybody thinks they have a great shot at being the last team standing, which is great for the league. I'm happy for the guys getting their rings tonight. Unfortunately, I have to wait till March to get mine. But it should be a special night for those guys. I wish I could have been there. But we have a game. Ours should be fun, too. And it's going to be a little weird for me, you know, playing against a guy that I've played with pretty much damn near my whole career and his whole career. So it's going to be fun and exciting, but a little strange for me.
That's what I was going to ask next. After so many years going into battle with Kawhi Leonard, you're now going against him in such a highly touted rivalry. What is that going to be like? Are you going to talk to him a little bit on the court?
I'm sure we'll talk beforehand. On the court, I don't know much, probably a little bit. Hopefully takes a light on me when I do guard him, if I do guard him.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, probably not. So I'll be asking for a lot of help. But it's going to be fun.
I know that usually we would think, Kawhi Leonard doesn't talk that much. I wouldn't expect trash talk between the two of you. But we learned last spring he does have a whole string of trash talk phrases that he likes. Do you expect to hear some?
Yeah, I mean, string is you said phrases, some here and there. I don't know. He might not. But I'm sure we'll talk to each other here and there.
I know that you're focused, as you said, on getting this team up and running and that the Clippers are focused on the same thing. Both of you guys keep talking about, hey, we're focused on a championship. Mm-hmm. But the truth is you play in the same arena. You have lockers that are hallway apart from each other. Mm-hmm. It's almost like two brothers going for the same job or the same girlfriend or something like that. What do you think this rivalry is going to be like all season?
I think people are pushing for it, but I don't think it's a rivalry yet. You know, I think it's just, you know, two very good respected teams in the same area that have mutual respect for each other. And it's going to be great for the city. It's going to be great for the, you know, the league.
Thank you to Danny. And aha, Mike Wilbon decided to stay with us. Take that, PTI producers. We love you. All right, Tracy, who you got tonight? Lakers, Clippers, and why?
I got the Lakers. I just think Anthony Davis is going to be too much tonight. No Paul George. I'm going with the Lakers.
You're adding Kawhi Leonard to a 48-win team from a year ago, right? I'm going to go with the Clippers. I think the Clippers have to have a crusade mentality as it comes to the Lakers. These guys get booed when they make public appearances in Los Angeles. That is so strange. But it's so cool, too, because of what is really a rivalry. I'm going to take the Clippers tonight. Not that the result matters.
First of all, thumbs up to the new court. I like the new black court that the Clippers have. I'm going Lakers. Lakers. If you can't beat the Clippers without Paul George tonight and the season over, blow it up. Start panic time. Lakers.
Speaking of panic time, are you going to make it through the game tonight? There were 400 media credentials.
How are we going to move around? I'm having a panic attack already about it.
Zach might not make it through this evening. It's a Clippers home game. We'll have to see what happens. Thank you to you three for being with us. Thank you to everyone there watching. The Jump is so excited to start the season. We'll see you tomorrow.